Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio. And folks, I tell you what, there's a guy that I know from Arkansas that about 2 weeks ago or so almost caught 100 pounds in a tournament. I think 99-10. And with me today is George Cochran. And George, unbelievable tournament at Guntersville.
Well, thank you, Terry. It was, I've been tournament fishing for 20 years, and that's the first time in 20 years that I was throwing back 5 pounders the last day. I couldn't use them. It was probably the most phenomenal day I ever had in bass fishing, the last day to catch five fish that weighed 30 pounds, and I probably threw back five that weighed 25 pounds.
You think about that, it's once in a lifetime when something like that happens. We've had a stringer in BASS before that was about 106 pounds. I think Dean Rojas did that down at Toho. But 99 pounds, when you get close to that 100-pound barrier, you got to feel pretty good about your tournament chances.
Well, it was just phenomenal. I knew I was catching a lot of fish, but I finally figured out how to catch the big ones the third and fourth day when I weighed in 25 and 30 pounds the last 2 days. But it was the technique that I was using. I think the lure helped a lot, but it was the way I was presenting the lure to the fish that I learned from an old fisherman back in Arkansas named Doyle Kane, and he calls it soaking the lure. And what I was doing is pulling it down over the grass and twitching it and letting that lure sit there about 8 seconds. And they just couldn't stand it. And for every fish I caught, the bait would be sitting still and I'd watch my line jump.
Well, there's nothing more fun than that. I know Kentucky Lake, a lot of times, you get those smallmouth that'll just attack it like that, or maybe some of the other jerkbait lakes. But you caught those on a Strike King bait. That's got to be a pretty phenomenal bait for Strike King now coming out.
Well, it's been a couple of years since they came out with it, and they've modified it different this last year. And another tournament, what really got me on this, Shaw Grigsby, we had a Hall of Fame tournament in Arkansas last year, and Shaw caught a big string of fish on that wild shiner. And after he did that, and he's telling me how good he li how much he liked it, then I started fishing it too. And it just has real good action. And the key is when you know you're right around fish is to let it sit there. And you've got to remember the water temperature is 47 degrees in that tournament. And I'd pull it down and twitch it and let that bait sit right over that grass, and those big fish couldn't stand to let it sit there for 5, 6 seconds, and that's how I caught them.
Well, George, as you think about this now, 47 degrees, fish are starting to think about springtime a little bit, starting to think about that spawn, but they had to be in that staging mode. And, to dial in on those fish in drains or in maybe a little creek that's heading into a pocket, you've got to know what you're doing to do that, don't you?
Well, I found about a quarter of a mile stretch of a weed line that went back into a big bay or creek. And what it was, there was a little creek channel that came in and swung right by this weed bed about 100-yard stretch. And that was the key place for those big fish. They were staging there. And a lot of people never found them because the time to catch them was between what I call Dr. Pepper time, between 1 and about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They were not, you couldn't catch those big fish early. And then start biting in the middle of the day to the afternoon, and that's how I caught all my fish.
Well, when you bring in a 30-pound bag, you're coming in there, you're leading a tournament, and you bring in that big 30-pound sack of fish, you got to feel pretty good. You got to have a smile like a Cheshire cat from ear to ear. But in this day and age, the way fishing goes, sometimes you don't know if you win or not, do you?
Well, no, and I was fishing against, 150 of the best fishermen in the world, and just about every day, a 20-pound stringer at Guntersville, nobody looks twice at. I mean, it's real common. So I knew going into the last day I had a pound lead anyhow, and I knew that I had to catch, I figured, around 24, 25 pounds to win it. And when I was throwing 5.5 pounders back that last day, I didn't think anybody could beat me then because I knew I started noticing I couldn't even keep one over five. It had to be almost 6 pounds before I could keep him. And then I realized then that I didn't think anybody could beat me.
Well, you look at a trail, I mean the BASS trail, which you mentioned, 150 of the best anglers in the world, no question about that. And then you see, every tournament, it just seems like our fisheries are getting better as well. And boy, what a testimony to Guntersville. That's a phenomenal place to fish.
I think, of course, naturally, since I won the tournament there, but I've won another tournament there a few years ago. I had 3 day BASS. I caught 63 pounds. But Guntersville, in my opinion, is probably one of the top lakes in the United States because, I mean, that first day I had like 21 pounds and I was in 10th place for 21 pounds the first day. That just shows you what a phenomenal lake. And it's like that every time we go there. It doesn't matter what time of year. So I consider it probably the best lake in the country.
Well, you look at the size of the fish, the health of the fish. I guess all the fish were very, very healthy, good-looking fish, and you got to think that maybe even the best is yet to come. Imagine that.
I don't see how it could be any better. I caught some fish in this tournament that is the length of them shouldn't weigh over 2.5 pounds, and they would weigh almost 4 pounds. They were so big around, they looked like they were going to bust. The food, they've got so much. The number one reason that people ought to understand why that lake is so good is because of the grass. You show me a lake that's got grass, I don't care if it's Alabama, Arkansas, Minnesota, and I'm going to show you a good lake usually. All the lakes we go in Texas or wherever, if they got milfoil in them, they've got a lot of bass. And you show me a lake that doesn't have any grass in it, and I'm going to show you a lake that's just so-so.
Yeah, and the recruitment of our fish, they've got places to hide, they've got places to get bigger, and a lot of these places that do not have that, I agree with you. I think that there's a real strong possibility the Grass Lakes are going to be really where the phenomenal fisheries are in the future.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I live in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and the lake I live on is a resort lake called Lake Hamilton, and they killed the grass in it 10 years ago. Well, we went from average stringer when it had grass, 15 to 20 pounds, to now average stringer is 10 to 12 pounds. But the lake above it that they don't have houses on, it's still full of grass. They hadn't killed the grass, and it takes 15 to 25 pounds a day to have a good stringer.
Well, you sure have a testimony to what good grass management can do. And it seems like when anybody sees grass, they think it's automatically should be eradicated. And those of us that fish, we have just the opposite feeling about it, don't we?
Well, I think that no matter where you live, if you're in bass clubs or whatever, if you have a lake that's got milfoil in it, and they get ready, they're building, their population's growing everywhere, and just about every lake they're building homes on it. The next thing you know, they want to kill the grass and make it like a swimming pool. Well, what they do, they kill the fishery. If the bass clubs and the federations get together, they can both people can be happy. They can control the grass without poisoning it, and that makes it better for the fishing.
Well, George, as you started off slow this year, non-typical George Cochran style, now you're right back in the hunt again.
Well, that's funny. I just don't like real cold weather, but believe it or not, we've been tournament fishing since the 8th of January, and every day, and I'm in Nashville right now fishing Old Hickory, I'm still fishing in a snowmobile suit. I don't like cold weather, but I've had a good 2 weeks. I won the one at Guntersville and finished 8th at Table Rock, and so I'm looking forward to this year. I've already did real good in a couple of tournaments, and I've got a lot of tournaments yet to go.
Well, you're about ready to shift gears after this Old Hickory event with FLW. Then you head for Lake Eufaula, which ought to be just another phenomenal fishery.
Eufaula is good. I remember last year we were there, and I was weighing in, I think I was weighing in 14, 15 pounds a day, and I still finished like 20th. But that just shows you, we hit it just right, and I think we're going to hit it just right this year. Maybe it'll be warm when we get there this time.
Well, George, I appreciate you being with me and taking time out of your busy schedule to be here on Bass Fan Radio, and good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Terry.
I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio.